Coming to you from Redondo Beach, California and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hey, welcome back to the Get Options Podcast. This is episode one. I'm Adam Silver with my friend,
Kyle Maurer.
Hello, Kyle Maurer. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Adam?
Good. And to the listeners out there, all 722 of them, I'm kidding. It can't be that many since we only had one episode. It was episode zero, which they just listened to, and now they're back. I hope, right?
I hope so. Okay. It's possible. You never know how many listeners we have at this point.
At this point, very early on, don't really care about the stats. Okay. But to move things forward, to move things forward and to, you know, be respectful of people's listening time. So this week we are back with only really one big news item that came out this past week. And that is that WordCamp US has been announced for the year 2017 and 2018. As we know, it moves every 2 years. And where is that location this week, Mr. Kyle Maurer?
WordCamp US 2017 and 2018 is going to be located in Nashville, Tennessee. I think that's pretty cool, don't you?
I do. I think it's a great town. I've only been to the airport like twice. I've flown through, hung out in the airport. A cool airport. Never been to the city or the town, so it should be nice. Have you been there before?
I've never been to Nashville. Well, actually, I take that back. I've driven through Nashville once a long, long time ago, but I think it should be a pretty good host city for this event.
Yeah. And are you going to go to WordCamp US 2017, 2018?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Nashville is not terribly far from me. It's a reasonable drive, probably about 7 hours from my house. I might consider making the drive. We shall see. But got to support WordCamp US. It's been an awesome event so far.
Right. I can tell you right now, I'm not driving there. If I do go, it'll be based on an airline ticket purchase. Or maybe not a purchase because of the changes in my life next year. That sounds weird and kind of dark.
That sounds cryptic, yeah.
Cryptic. We're going to leave it at that. We're going to leave it at the cryptic for
no
right
secrets
now.
Secrets that you haven't told me?
I have a secret. I have my secret about airplanes and a hangar that I'll tell you some other time. Okay. So that's really it for the news. Any other news item that you can think of?
You know,
at the moment?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
That's okay. You know, no pressure here. It's only episode one. And like we said, you know, we're not going to just make stuff up. So why did I laugh at that? You know, we're not making any of this up. This is all professionally produced in a studio, et cetera. All right. So moving along. So we have three questions that came in. These were all emailed over the last couple, I guess, weeks and months, technically, as I mentioned this podcast to some other people. And so, anyway, so first of all, I'm going to ask this one to you, Kyle. Kevin asks, how do you abandon a client, you know, i.e. fire them?
I love this question, Adam. Thanks. Thank you, Kevin, for sending this in to us. It's a fun topic, and we've gotten this at live Q&As before. I think you and I have before,
yeah,
Adam.
We have.
It's something that we all deal with when you got a difficult client and you just don't think things are working out. It's just like when you're going on a date that's not going right and you got to break some bad news to somebody. But how do you do it? How do you do it tactfully and professionally, especially if the relationship is already in progress? Maybe you already have an active project. What do you do? This is tough. So here's your options. I say option one, you create a public scandal. That surrounds yourself where you are in the news and a lot of bad news comes out about you. This is a great way for clients to find out great ways that they should never contact you again, great reasons. And so if you just get public records to be exposed or the news can just leak things to the media about you doing selling illegal, like non-GPL themes or something really dark. And that should really do the trick. Before you know it, nobody's going to want to do business with you and all your clients will walk away.
Huh.
That's option one.
That's an interesting option. I just have a quick comment. So based on the time of year, it's November 2016. So you're thinking, if I joined the Trump cabinet, would that be a scandal enough?
You know, it's possible. It's possible. I don't really know. Is that something that you can just join voluntarily?
I'm at this point, he can't get people to work with him. Anyway, okay, this show is all about politics. Moving on. What's another option of way to abandon the client?
You know, another great option, Adam, thank you for asking, would be to just simply provide very poor service.
That's awesome.
You can be the kind of service provider who says, yeah, you know, I'm going to send you that proposal on Tuesday, and you send it 3 weeks late. Or you could be the kind of person who shows up late to meetings.
I like it.
Maybe
I like it a lot.
Maybe, you know, a little hungover at the meetings. You could be the kind of person who turns in sites that don't work or they crash. Those are great, really, really effective strategies for you to, without having to have awkward conversations, convince a client to just walk away.
So, okay, I don't think I have any comment on that. That's actually really brilliant, if I think I'm going to think about it.
It's very strategic, and it takes a lot of practice to get it just right so that you can guarantee certain clients do walk away. But if you do it, you can avoid having to deal with any interpersonal communications that are uncomfortable for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking just real quick, you know, so I have one I just thought of, just popped in my head. You could promise a WordPress website within budget, within time, but give them something like in Wix.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that would really, really do the trick for a lot of clients.
I think so. I think that would end that relationship because you would just say, you know what? I decided Wix is where you need to be.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Right. This will guarantee the result that you want, which is a client parting ways with you.
Right.
And you don't have to break any bad news to them.
Right. I think so. Okay. So now, truthfully, those are three ways, but maybe not the most ideal ways if somebody has this true issue. And we all kind of have. We've all gone through that awkward conversation. What would you really do?
So another option, if those don't really work out for you, they're not your style, another option that you might consider would be to prepare. Once you acknowledge that this is that parting ways is necessary, prepare an alternate strategy for the client before you enter into any conversation with them. Never go into the conversation saying we need to part ways without having an answer to the question, which will immediately follow. So what do I do now? So you should reflect and prepare a positive strategy for the client so that you can go into the conversation and say, hey, things have changed for us. Our situation is different. My company is over capacity, or I've lost employees, or my situation's changed, or my schedule's different, or a service offering is now changed. However, this isn't going to hurt you because I've already made a new strategy for you. I've already made a connection with someone else who is prepared to take on the project within the same budget. I've already made a connection with someone else who can provide you with whatever solution I was going to provide. And I'm going to introduce you to them, and they're going to take care of things. And so you are a winner. You are doing so much to help the client, and everybody wins in the end, especially you.
Right. Okay. You know, at the same token, you know, I think a issue that happens or it comes up often is, what do you do when you have a client who you want to keep, but the relationship is stressful because of lack of communication or on their perspective or lack of payment? You know, I mean, actually, I'm up against this right now where I had a client over at Concierge WP, and they are now 19 days past due. So what do I do? Do I end that relationship? How long do I keep? You know, what would you suggest if it's me? I mean, this is actually it's an ironic timing. What do I mean, at the moment, I'll tell you what I've done right now. At the moment, I've stopped backing up their site. I stopped providing the service. I can't just do it for free. And I've sent the client 4 or 5 emails. You know, I guess obviously you can go back to old school, make a phone call. And that's probably what it should be next, technically. And maybe, like you said, take a combination. I stop doing the work. I make a clear effort to, I back up the site. I put it in Dropbox. I send him an email and a letter and a link. Here you go. This will be good for 48 hours. And he's on his own. If he wants to come back, then he has to, you know, sign back up and pay up front this time. Anyway, good idea.
Well, you know, if a client's not paying you, then I think if really you feel entitled to the money, you're perfectly justified in swapping out all the links on their website with your own affiliate links. It's okay. A way to make the money, you know, from them, through them.
Nice.
They're not going to give it to you. Yeah. So just an option.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that. Years ago, when I was doing some flat website hosting, some design, but it was all flat, but I resold the hosting itself. I had a client who didn't pay, $100 at the time, $100, true story. And I finally took the site down. It said coming soon on the bottom of the site. It had his logo, but on the bottom, it just had, it did have some affiliates. It did have that. But that's a whole separate story. And then, you know, I had to unfriend that person on Facebook just because he claimed he had no money, yet he'd go out to eat, you know, 3 or 4 times over the weekend with a family of 5. And that's, you know, $100 a pop. I'm like, wow, yeah, you're lying. So anyway, so all right, I digress. So I think we've covered the answer there.
I think so. I think so, Kevin. You've got some good options here. You can part ways in any style that you have, I think probably the solution you're looking for is to come up with a positive strategy for the client. Approach them. You're the hero. You walk away. They are your biggest fan because you helped them out even when you didn't really need to, and everybody wins.
Right. Good answer. Okay. So we have two more questions. What's the other question? You want to ask this one?
Let's see. We've got a question from a big fan named Joel. He is asking us, can you, a professional WordPress service provider like ourselves, can you successfully collaborate with friends?
Easy answer. No. No, I'm just kidding. No, of course. I mean, the old joke is don't work with animals or children. That was in the TV film days of my life. But with working with friends or family, family is still tough. I've done that. Friends can be tough, of course. But honest answer is yes, you can. And the explanation I have for that is we have actually worked together. I had a client somewhere back east in a state that you're not a fan of. And I got the job and, you know, did the scope and discovery and did some of the work. But then I subbed out and worked with you and your team on it because we're friends, for one. And it worked out fine. But we set up a pretty good precedent. You know, we talked about it up front about as far as financial issues, which weren't really any. And we did the right way. We used, you know, I don't know. It was just I'm thinking, have I ever worked with friends that has gone awry? I cannot say that I have because I haven't. I guess I've been very lucky. Have you ever any problems with that?
You know, I've had some situations in the past that I kind of regretted. I think I've hired some friends in the past that didn't really work out in the end. Maybe we thought that our friendship could overcome maybe some other incompatibilities where we're not aware of them. And that's really the thing, is those incompatibilities are going to come out quick. So in the situation you described, Adam, I think it's very appropriate to enter into fairly small engagements, especially initially. If you have big projects coming, generally speaking, they're not great candidates for a first time try working professionally with an acquaintance, somebody that you like.
I mean, I think you and I are kind of unique in the sense that we hit it off pretty quickly, for one. We talk a lot and to bounce ideas back and forth about business, as well as, you know, we've also traveled together and we vacationed together, which is, you know, weird. No, it's not that weird, actually. I mean, I don't know how you got the address to the vacation house I had in Costa Rica. That was weird. But once you were there, you were there. So it's fine. you know, and your wife kept you in check most of the time. So, but, you know, I'm just thinking, I mean, I've worked with you and your team. I've worked with another company in our space, and we're still friends. You know, we've parted ways on the business side of things, but we stayed friends. I've worked with family. You know, I had a client, my sister was a client, and that's great. And for a couple of years, and then it was time to move on for her perspective, and it's fine. It actually worked out really well. The key is communication. I think it comes back down to plain and simple communication and set expectations on the professional side, and know that friendship needs to, it's a separate thing.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I think we're all in good positions in our industry, because we all the time have lots of opportunities to take on small projects that are not so critical to our business. You know, we've got this hot lead that's the big game changer for us. Like I said, that's a bad candidate for collaborating with anyone for the first time. But maybe you got something on the side, you want to start up some special interest blog or something together and just see how that goes. That's the kind of thing I've done with friends in the past. And very quickly, you're going to discover who's really serious about it, what your different styles are. I've done projects in the past where I collaborated with friends on some kind of blog, and before you know it, we found ourselves having little debates or even arguments about how to monetize the blog. You know, should advertising go on it? What's the frequency we should be posting on? You know, should we be more salesy or not? And it was very helpful, the fact that these projects are not critical, and any of us could just say, you know what, I'm kind of busy, I'm going to walk away, and we're all fine. But it was a non-critical project, and we learned hard lessons.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, and I think the fact is, the collaboration is different than subbing work out. I think I believe there might be a difference in, obviously it's difference in words, so it's difference in definition. Collaboration is working together for a common goal. It's almost like a business relationship. It just depends. I'm not sure on Joel's question. Technically, if we look at it, collaboration with friends versus subbing work out to a friend. I think that's a slight difference. And I think in this case, it might be, in my case, it was subbing work out to you guys, to you and your team. So, you know, it's a good question. I think it's doable. I've done it. Just need to go in with the knowledge that friendship is more important than business.
Aw.
Yeah, you know. Okay.
Shucks.
Yeah. All right. Third and final question of the episode. What do we got? Oh, it's me to ask you. Natalie. Oh, Natalie asks, so can a lead from a networking event be followed up with? Oh, I see. Okay. It's kind of a weird way they question. So Natalie met somebody at a networking event, has a contact, looked up to the website, wanted to just follow up, and the website's really bad, like really bad, dated and old. How can Natalie let the owner of the website know the site's really bad? I.e., how do you tell your baby's ugly? That's the old joke I used to say. How do you tell the baby? How do you tell the, you know, someone their baby's ugly? Thoughts?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Natalie, for this fun question, because it's a situation you'll find yourself in all the time. You're going to be at those networking events or anywhere, and you're going to talk to people. Maybe you'll be at a WordCamp or something, and someone will show you what they've got, and you will just be repulsed. I mean, we're both there all the time, all the time.
Wow. Strong word. Repulsion. Repulsion. I don't know if that's the right word. Go on.
It happens. It happens. Somebody's going to come up to you at the happiness bar and say, hey, how can I make these colors contrast even more?
and add a blinking element to it.
Yeah. You're going to make a run to the bathroom first. So there are a few strategies that I would suggest, because this is someone who has not approached you and asked for service yet, as I understand the question.
Correct.
Maybe we don't know. Maybe they think that they're sitting on hot stuff and it's amazing. Maybe they don't like it. We don't know. I think one strategy would be to spin up some fake review sites that really bash the company and their website and its poor user experience, its lack of accessibility, the fact that it's not responsive and they can't use it on their phone, the fact that it's so ugly it reflects on them very poorly, and just have a bunch of reviews on that. And then you be the nice person who sends this prospect the links to the sites that you created and say, hey, I found this stuff, looks really bad.
So you don't think that's a little, should address this. Kyle, you don't think that's a little sketchy?
No, not at all. That is totally kosher. And I have never worked for any company that would ever do anything like that.
Right. Okay.
Fake review sites. Absolutely. So you can be the hero because you're bringing it to their attention and saying, hey, I see you're struggling with the reviews. Can I help you out?
Okay. That's one way to go about it, I suppose. Thinking to myself, any other options come to mind?
Well, you could attend some of these networking events and maybe create some rigged raffle where they are the winner of a free consultation with you to talk about their website. And, you know, you throw confetti in the air and have somebody pull the name out of a hat, only their name is the only one in the hat. And then you get a free consultation with them because they're excited to take advantage of it.
Nice. Okay. All right. I'm gonna go with strike two. Come on, give me a base hit here. Give us something that Natalie can really take away now and somehow get the conversation going without offending the person. Go.
Without offending the person. See, that's tricky. My next idea was going to be to say you volunteered to do a presentation at this networking event. And you say, who wants to volunteer to put their website up on the screen and we'll have a discussion about its opportunities for improvement.
Mm.
And then you point to them and make sure that they're the ones who volunteer.
Right.
Hopefully that they attended that meeting. Otherwise, you're kind of left without any preparation.
Or if they do volunteer, or if they don't volunteer and you bring up their domain anyways, it's like, well, now you're just, you know, I don't want to, this is going to be a clean podcast, so I don't want to say any bad words here, but you know, you're not the nicest person on the block. So, yeah.
Well, are we called to be nice, Adam, or are we called to make money?
Wow. Okay. So we're monetizing the podcast, right? Who's our sponsor this week? Well, we don't have one just yet. Let us know, by the way, if you want to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I'll get back with you.
Okay. No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, if we have a sponsor, a hosting company, we know like a dozen of them. Anyway, so we'll that way I digress. So, Okay. Baby's
what
ugly.
Do you think, Adam? Well, how would you approach this conversation with somebody whose website is just atrocious and you really think they'd be a good client for you?
So ideally, you know, the connection that was made was one of friendship. You know, you can kind of go back in, follow up with them via email or a phone call, but typically emails often happens these days as a first contact after a network event from the business card trade kind of thing. What you don't want to do is take that business card and add it to your email list. Do not do that. I'm not recommending that at all. And then if you can get an email back and saying, hey, it was good to meet you too, you know, you might consider, depends on how much time you have, you could spin up a subdomain and kind of give up, put a couple mock-ups together, maybe show the site. Depends on the company. I mean, I've come across this. I have a folder on my computer. It says local companies that need a new website. Now, of course, they don't know this, but in that folder, I have about 15 links to local companies, and I'm in a dilemma too. I mean, I think they need it. I have a warm connection to them. I mean, I've either met them or I know someone who knows them. It's a tough approach. It's better than a cold call if you know the person, if you met them. Cold call, I mean, I get emails all the time from people overseas in the country. Hey, we provide all these services, you know, total cold because via LinkedIn typically, right? So, I don't know the answer to this one myself, honestly.
It's tricky. Those business networking events, though, I think are nice because in my experience, it is not unusual for members of a networking group to just simply approach another member and say, can we get coffee? Let's talk to each other about what we both do, the services that we provide, encourage passing of referrals. For the business. So that's really popular for traditional business networking groups. And there's nothing wrong with just approaching this person and saying, hey, can we grab coffee sometime? I just want to learn more about your business, tell you a little bit about mine, and we'll get to know each other better. Yeah. That's totally cool in those business environments.
That's an option. I think the other option is, again, it depends on how comfortable you feel with the approach. I know someone who's done the cold call after the fact, or not a cold call, the warm call. I know people who have set up the site in a subdomain and just showed them, you know. And I suppose if you have the time, if you're a young developer, if you're a young, smaller shop, and you have the time to spend half a day to whip up a quick little brochure site, nothing major here. These are like these sites I think in question are more brochure site based. You can do that and just send them a link or go show them. And if they like it, they say, this is what this costs. You already have your pricing done. If they don't like it, you have a new portfolio piece.
You could, yeah. You know, but chances are good that if the site is poorly put together from a presentation standpoint, it could be just riddled with security vulnerabilities, which you could take advantage of if you really just want to penetrate this site and take it over, take it down, just punish the owner anonymously and fill it with spam, just take it over. You could come in later, you know, as yourself or even anonymously as a hero, and you will be the person who saves the day.
Malwareus, I see you. For those who know what that means, Malwareus, yep, I am Cyber Shield. I will not let you hack anyone's site, even the unsuspected and unknowing. Okay. The reference is Kyle and I did a talk at WordCamp Ann Arbor about security, and Kyle was a hacker and I was Cyber Shield. So that's all. You can see that on WordPress.tv eventually.
I'm just saying, okay. It's an option. You could hack the site. You could take it down. Then you swoop in and you're the hero. Say, hey, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to save this site. Before you know it, they love you. They're writing you into their will. They are your absolute biggest fan. You've got not just a client, but a friend for life.
Right. Okay. Well, with that, I think we're going to wrap things up, put a nice bow on it. Thanks again for listening to the Get Options Podcast, Episode 1. We're going to be back next week with episode 2 and then episode 3, et cetera. That's just how the numbering system works as far as I know it. If you have any questions, how do they get in touch with us?
Questions at getoptionspodcast.com is our email address.
It is. Or you can leave a voicemail using the SpeakPipe functionality on the website. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.